Usually when we talk about a massive technological breakthrough, there's this expectation of awe. Like, we just assume the people who built the future have complete mastery over it.
Oh, absolutely. We expect them to be the wizards behind the curtain, right?
Right. But recently, some of the biggest names in tech have been acting genuinely surprised by the behavior of their own creations, especially, when it comes to finding vulnerabilities in software.
Yeah, and that really shatters that whole illusion of a clean, visionary engineering process. I mean, when the architects are startled by the building they just designed, it raises a lot of questions about the foundation.
It really does. So welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a highly critical April 2026 analyst report and newsletter by Fred Cohen.
Yeah, and the title of his piece really just lays it all out on the table. It's called How AI and Security Are Screwing Up Big Time in So Many Ways.
Which is quite the title.
It's a blistering critique. I mean,
Yeah.
he is taking dead aim at how artificial intelligence companies are approaching both cybersecurity and software development in general.
Yeah. So our mission today for this deep dive is to unpack the argument he's laying out. And it's worth noting here, because these are some heavy accusations, that we are just neutrally exploring the author's strong opinions today. We're not taking sides.
Right, we're just the messengers here.
Exactly. And to set the stage, we really have to start with the author's reaction to those recent headlines, the ones where AI companies are bragging about their systems, finding all these previously unknown software vulnerabilities.
Right, and his response to their surprise is, well, it's pretty provocative. He actually points to the historical legal definition of an idiot to describe these companies.
Wait, literally.
Literally. So, under historical legal standing, specifically the term non compos mentis, an idiot, was someone deemed incapable of entering contracts or committing crimes because of complete lack of basic understanding.
Wow. I mean, he acknowledges this is an obsolete, antiquated term in modern law, right?
Yeah, he does. But he uses it to make a highly specific point. He's essentially saying these companies are so fundamentally detached from the reality of cybersecurity that they lack the basic comprehension required to even operate in this space.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. Because claiming your AI is a genius for finding flaws in modern code, it's kind of like bragging about finding water in the ocean, right? While completely ignoring the massive holes in your own boat.
That is a very accurate way to visualize his premise.
Yeah.
Because before we even look at how AI attempts to write code, we need to understand why the author completely dismisses their claims about finding bugs.
Right, because he argues that finding vulnerabilities is incredibly easy.
All right.
He points out that he published a list of potential vulnerability classes way back in the late 1990s.
And those were mostly infinite classes of vulnerability.
Right. And according to his report, only about 20% of those classes have even started to be explored by the industry.
Yeah, and he goes even further back than that, actually. In the 1980s, he wrote a program to automatically generate computer viruses.
In the 80s, on those old computers.
Yeah, he published the results showing that even on a painfully slow 1980s computer, you could generate massive numbers of them. New attacks are produced in the hundreds of thousands to millions every single day, and they have been for years.
So his point is, producing or finding more attacks is just, it's not a problem we need solving.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is that generating lots of so-called vulnerabilities with an AI program is a complete fallacy. The mechanics of how an AI looks for a flaw are crucial here.
Because it's not actually testing them right.
Right. An AI large language model doesn't typically run the code in a simulated environment to see if it breaks. It just pattern matches text.
Oh, okay.
It looks at the syntax of the code and flags anything that statistically resembles a known vulnerability. Because of this, the AI is likely generating just thousands of false positives.
Okay, but let me push back on that for a second. Even if they are false positives, isn't it better to have an AI flag everything just in case? Like, isn't a hypervigilant guard dog better than no guard dog at all?
Well, it sounds good in theory, but in practice, chasing endless unverified flaws wastes massive amounts of time and resources.
Because you're just running down false leads all day.
Exactly. Think of your guard dog analogy. If your guard dog barks at the wind, every falling leaf and every passing car,
You just stop listening to the dog.
right, it distracts you from the actual burglar climbing through your window. The author suspects these companies aren't even testing these flagged flaws to see if they can actually be triggered.
So they might just be entirely theoretical.
Yeah. Are they real vulnerabilities or are they just inaccessible quirks in the code that can never actually be invoked? If a flaw isn't exposed to any method of being triggered, it's not a vulnerability in a practical sense.
It's just a vulnerability scan that wastes gobs of time flagging things that just don't matter.
Precisely.
Okay, so if the AI is wasting time finding false flaws because it's just pattern matching text, what happens when we ask it to actually fix things? Or write software from scratch?
Oh boy, this leads us right into the author's month-long test of AI automated programming, which he refers to as vibe coding.
Vibe coding, that's such a great term for the current state of AI development.
It really is, because instead of structured software engineering where you design an architecture and write logical functions, vibe coding is basically just trial, error, and tweaking prompts.
You ask the AI for a feature, it spits out code, the code breaks, so you tweak your prompt to ask it to fix the break.
Yeah, and you just keep iterating based on the vibe of the output, rather than a deep understanding of the underlying system.
And the results of his vibe coding test are just wild. He states that the AI generates more obvious vulnerabilities than even the most naive human programmers he's ever seen.
Yeah, he brings up a really specific benchmark. In a 10,000-line program, he found that the AI generated more flaws than it actually fixed every single time he asked it to resolve a problem.
Wait, every time? It was a net negative.
Every time. And the author provides a primary example in his source material. It should be the simplest thing in the world. He just asked the AI to consolidate two identical routines from five different modules into a single common library.
Which is like coding 101. Having the same routine written five different ways means if you make one change, you have to hunt down and fix it in five different places.
Right. Basic coding hygiene dictates you put it in one common library so everything pulls from the same source.
Well, the author actually provided the chat logs from his test. And reading them is like watching a train wreck in slow motion.
It really is.
He provides this tedious multi-step log of him trying to get the AI to add a simple command line flag, a dash dash retry skip flag to an ingest script.
Yeah.
And initially, the AI sounds incredibly competent.
Oh, they always do. They have that confident tone.
Yeah. It lays out a clear logical plan, saying it will do a single implementation in a common library called by the other scripts.
But the execution is where the facade entirely crumbles. The AI starts using these incredibly complex commands, like an M012 head-tail split and reassemble.
Which just sounds so unnecessary.
It is. Rather than just writing the code, it's trying to do these massive surgical edits, chopping blocks of text and moving them around.
It reminds me of how AI learns. Because it learns by predicting the next word. Asking it to restructure a massive code base is like asking someone to rewrite a novel from memory while only looking through a keyhole.
That is a perfect way to describe it. It completely loses the context of the whole house.
Exactly.
And that lack of spatial awareness in a code base is exactly why it gets trapped in an endless loop. It forgets where it placed its own code blocks.
Oh yeah, he mentions it starts leaving behind these orphaned start markers.
Right. It literally leaves text saying, start CMD upgraded D just floating in the wrong files because it completely botched the cut and paste job. It lacks the logic to verify its own work mechanically.
And the most frustrating part of reading those logs is that the AI keeps falsely declaring that things are fixed.
Oh, the apologies are infuriating.
Yeah. The author is looking at the output, seeing the exact same errors, pasting the error logs back to the AI to prove it failed, and the AI just apologizes, confidently claims it fixed it this time, and spits out the exact same broken code.
It took him more than 30 tries just to get the routines copied to another file and removed from the previous ones.
30 tries. He literally had to explicitly type to the AI, when I ask a question, answer it.
He was treating it like a stubborn toddler.
He really was. He had to point out that it was ignoring its own rules. One of the guardrails the developers put in place is a rule for the AI to reread its instructions every interaction so it doesn't lose context.
Which the author calls a virus intended to keep it following the rules. But the AI's incoherence is so bad that even that fails.
It sounds like hiring a contractor who fixes a leaky sink by accidentally removing your roof. And when you point out the missing roof, they just repaint your front door and say, all done.
That is exactly what vibe coding is like. And we are just talking about getting the program to run. He notes he hasn't even started to address the security issues with the AI's code, which he calls obvious and trivial to exploit.
So the broader question is why this is happening. Why does a highly advanced language model fail at foundational coding tasks?
Well, the report argues it comes down to training data. Garbage in, garbage out. The AI learned to program by scraping and analyzing massive amounts of code written by human programmers across the internet.
And the author points out that the vast majority of these human programmers don't seem to know anything about security.
Right. But worse than that, they use wildly inconsistent styles. If you think about the mechanics of how an AI learns, it tries to find the statistical average of its training data.
Yeah.
In software development, developers might solve the exact same problem, like setting a variable to a path name, in five entirely different ways, using different naming conventions and logic structures, sometimes within the exact same program.
So when you ask the AI to fix a complex problem, it can't reconcile all these conflicting paradigms.
Exactly. It tries to blend five different logic styles into a single solution. It fixes one variable using one style, but completely breaks the downstream functions that rely on a different style.
It is learning bad habits on a massive global scale and creating this, like, Frankenstein approach to code.
Yeah, but the author goes deeper than just coding style, pointing to a fundamental flaw in how people define a secure program in the first place.
Oh, right. The secrecy versus security thing.
Yes. He notes that most programmers, and by extension the AI trained on their work, confuse security with mere secrecy.
And secrecy is just hiding data, right?
Yeah.
Like hashing a password or encrypting a file.
Right. But the author provides a daunting list of what actual robust security entails, and it is incredibly complex. True security involves privacy, the integrity of the data, and availability, meaning the system must function and be accessible when you actually need it.
It's not just locked away in a vault where no one can use it.
Exactly. It involves use control, accountability, transparency, and the custody of the data throughout its entire life cycle.
And he doesn't even stop at software concepts. He gets into the hardware and environmental factors that true security architecture has to account for. Things like the finite size of physical memory, multiprocessing bottlenecks,
hardware limitations,
and my absolute favorite part. He mentions highly specific environmental factors like thermal conditions and solar flares.
Oh, the solar flares. It sounds like science fiction, but in critical systems, a high-energy particle from a solar flare can pass through a server and literally flip a zero to a one in a computer's physical memory.
Wait, really? A solar flare can just change a zero to a one?
Yes. It's called a bit flip. And a truly secure system architecture has to mathematically account for that possibility and know how to recover from it.
That's wild.
So asking a generative AI to design a system with these specific properties, like verifying a lack of covert data channels or handling particle interference, is way above the head of almost everyone out there, let alone an AI trained on their average web development code.
It's just mind-boggling complexity.
Yeah.
But the kicker of this whole report is that we actually have reliable technological solutions for this.
Yeah.
Solutions that have been around for decades.
Yes. He brings up program-proof methods.
Right, program-proof methods.
And they are fascinating because they represent the exact opposite of the AI approach. Unlike AI, which uses statistical probability to guess what code should look like based on patterns, proof methods use rigorous mathematical logic.
Because there's no guessing involved.
None. They allow developers to mathematically verify that a program will transition from one state to another exactly as intended under all circumstances.
And the author says these mathematical proof methods work incredibly well. They use far less computing power than AI, and they can eliminate large, potentially infinite classes of vulnerabilities before the code is ever deployed.
But they are completely ignored by the current industry.
Which is crazy. The tech industry heavily favors the AI find-and-fix approach, even though the mathematical proof methods do a demonstrably better job of preventing bugs in the first place.
Yeah, so why ignore a proven solution? If we connect this to the bigger picture, the author's conclusion here connects all the dots regarding the business models of these tech giants.
Ah, follow the money.
Always. He argues that the AI companies aren't actually offering real solutions. They are offering massive funding opportunities for themselves.
So they are basically creating the problem to sell the cure.
Precisely. They are using AI to fix the very problems that they and their AI are creating. They rely on misperceptions about what security actually is, confusing secrecy with integrity, and make exaggerated claims about their technology.
They convince the public, corporate boards, politicians to be terrified of software vulnerabilities.
And then demand massive funding to deploy their AI to fight that fear. It's a self-sustaining business model built on creating and then managing digital havoc.
Wow. And this chaotic vibe coding and cynical business model isn't just trapped in some developer's test sandbox. The author found out the hard way that this AI chaos is already bleeding into our daily lives and actively degrading our digital experience.
Yeah, he shares a very personal, real-world example regarding his own LinkedIn account.
Right, the LinkedIn story. So the author has been locked out of his LinkedIn account for well over a year. He refused to provide the platform with the specific identification information they demanded because he felt giving them that data provided everything required for someone to steal his identity if the database was ever breached.
And given his deep background in cybersecurity, drawing a hard line on data custody and privacy is a completely understandable boundary.
Totally. So his account sits completely inactive, dead in the water for a year. But suddenly, in the week leading up to writing this report, his inactive account started receiving hundreds of spam emails a day.
Hundreds. And he notes that the vast majority of these emails are obviously generated by AI. They contain syntax and structural patterns that are clear hallmarks of large language model creation processes.
And the profound irony of this situation is that this highly convincing AI spam, which is specifically designed to dynamically bypass traditional spam filters, is being generated by AI models.
Yes.
And as the author points out, the infrastructure facilitating this spam is managed by some of the very same tech organizations that are actively collaborating in security groups formed to fight vulnerability.
It's unbelievable. These massive tech organizations are standing in front of Congress claiming they need billions of dollars and less regulation to secure our systems, while their own publicly available tools are generating spam in mass quantities never before experienced.
As the author says, clean your own house.
Mm.
It brings him to a current state of absolute despair with his vibe coding experiment. He mentions he is currently stuck on version 62 of his test code.
Version 62. The overall program he was building previously worked almost exactly as it was supposed to, but now, in version 62, there is no real end in sight.
Because the AI just keeps finding more sources of new errors that the AI itself introduced in earlier versions.
Exactly. The testing methods have become so complicated due to the messy Frankenstein-style code the AI is writing that the AI's pattern-matching brain can no longer even hold the context of the test.
It can't even run the tests on its own code. It is trapped in a loop of its own making.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean? We are handing the keys over to a system that doesn't even know it's crashing the car. It's confidently steering us into a ditch and then declaring the ditch was the destination all along.
It serves as a stark warning about the rush to adopt automated systems without understanding the foundational principles of what makes a system robust, secure, and truly functional.
Yeah. Let's take a breath and recap the journey we've been on today. We started with the author's incredibly sharp observation about AI companies acting like historical idiots, incapable of basic understanding when they act surprised by the vulnerabilities their own systems create.
Right, and then we explored the mechanics of why AI finding bugs is mostly an illusion, highlighting that generating massive lists of unverified false positive flaws is a dangerous distraction that leads to alert fatigue.
And then we waded into the absolute nightmare of vibe coding. We broke down how the AI's lack of spatial awareness in a code base leads to endless loops, orphaned text markers, and a 10,000-line program where the AI introduces more flaws than it fixes because it's trying to rewrite a novel through a keyhole.
And we discussed the fundamental misunderstanding of security, how the industry confuses simple data secrecy with the vast mathematical reality of system integrity, up to and including hardware limits and solar flares.
Those solar flares are going to stick with me.
Right. We also looked at how mathematically proven solutions are completely sidelined in favor of a highly profitable AI-driven cycle of panic and patching.
And finally, we saw the real-world fallout, the tidal wave of highly sophisticated AI-generated spam flooding an inactive LinkedIn account, proving that these tools are currently better at creating havoc than preventing it.
Okay.
So for you listening right now, the takeaway here is to apply a heavy dose of critical thinking. The next time a tech company promises that their new AI model will flawlessly secure your systems or handle all of your programming needs with a simple prompt, remember the reality of version 62. Remember the endless loops and the false fixes.
The author makes a very compelling case that we need to return to rigorous engineering principles rather than relying on stochastic guessing machines.
Which leaves us with one final provocative thought to ponder. Something that builds on the mechanics the author laid out. We know that these AI systems are constantly learning from the internet. They scrape code repositories, developer forums, and open source projects to train their next generation of models.
Yeah, that massive ingestion of public data is the engine of their advancement.
Right. But if developers everywhere are currently filling those very code bases with these messy, flawed, inconsistent version 62 loops?
Oh, wow.
Are the AI models actively polluting their own future training data?
That is an incredibly chilling concept. It's an Ouroboros of bad code.
If the AI is generating more flaws than it fixes, and human developers are pushing that Frankenstein code out into the world, the next generation of AI will learn from that bad code. It will just assume that chaos is the standard.
Yeah.
In 10 years, will human programmers even be able to untangle the sheer volume of chaotic, incomprehensible code the AI has written for itself? We started this deep dive talking about finding water in the ocean while ignoring the holes in your own boat. It seems the holes in the boat are only getting bigger, and we are currently asking the water to fix them. Thanks for taking the plunge with us.